Hello, and welcome to the podcast series Ready, Set, Game, The Rhetoric of Games, a podcast created by Emory University students in David Morgan's Play, Make, Write, Think class.
Over the course of the series, we will approach games as operating within the larger media ecology and attempt to diagram the competing forces at work within that landscape.
In each episode, we will play and analyze a specific game with an eye toward its rhetorical situation and the role it plays within the broader medium.
We'll focus on the way these games encourage players to think in order to move through them and what sorts of decisions the games force us to make.
As we probe the underlying rules of game systems and speculate about what's going on underneath the hood, we'll ponder where they are taking us and to what ends.
How do these games encourage certain types of problem solving and learning? What sorts of values do they promote? What sorts of new perspectives do we gain in the playing?
So buckle up and come play with us.
You hear a little girl screaming from upstairs. Things are being knocked over, and you know she's in danger because her dad is alcoholic and aggressive and probably going to hurt her. You, as a housekeeping android, and the only way to save her is to obey your orders and break your programming, becoming a deviant. Are you going to break the wall of coding and save the girl, or are you going to do your job, ignore what's going on?
I choose to save the girl.
So you run upstairs, you know the girl's father has the gun right beside his bed. You would assume he will come after you and the little girl if you don't kill him. Would you kill him?
I choose not to kill him.
I am Kathy.
And I am Jessica. And welcome to our talk about Detroit Become Human. What you just heard was a scene involving one of the important decisions you have to make in this game. Detroit Become Human is a third-person adventure game released in 2018, exclusively for the PlayStation 4 console. The narration of the game is set in a near-future version of Detroit, in the year 2038. Human-like androids have been established on the mass market and serve, for examples, as mechanics, soldiers, service providers, or sex workers, who take over dangerous, tedious, or unpleasant tasks. But the public opinion on androids is divided, because besides the advantages, unemployment has increased massively. The game follows the three deviant androids placed around the Android Rebellion, but shown from their three distinctly different points of view. This interactive drama offers a wide variety of moral decisions, each within large-scale consequences, resulting in a highly branched narration tree.
One of the themes is that the androids in the game represent the oppressed group of the society in real life.
They take jobs away. As seen in that first description, they're treated like slaves.
And we can see there are unemployed workers striking on the street at the beginning. And we can also see their bus are segregated. The androids are standing in the back of bus and normal human would sit in the front.
So basically, they're not treated like humans. They're treated like androids. They represent a minority, and I think that's part of what this game is trying to teach us. We're trying to gain sympathy for them.
Right. The human beings are depicted as the downside of the society. For example, they're lazy and egoistic, like Todd. He abuses his daughter. The policemen in the rallies are aggressive, and Hank was really distrustful. I mean, I remember trying really hard as Connor to gain his trust, and without doing it, Connor could be shot by him in the head. Or some of them are plainly sadistic, like Zlatko. He kidnaps and tortures the androids.
There are some kind humans, like Carl. He takes care of his android, Marcus, by treating him like a son. And I think characters like that just help you develop a stronger connection to the androids versus disliking the oppressed group in society.
But overall, it's easy to side with the androids, mm-hmm. even when they have to choose violent solutions. Sometimes they decide to embody human values. So in this game, the players are really put into the shoes of the oppressed groups as they are being misunderstood and mistreated.
Fortunately, players are given the opportunities to make moral decisions that change how the androids would face situations. That leads us into our next discussion.
Marcus, as one of the other deviant androids, has an owner, Carl, who is portrayed as one of the very few kind humans who wholeheartedly believes that androids should be treated as alive, conscious beings. And there was a scene in the game where Carl's biological son broke into his house, and Marcus could tell he was getting really aggressive and could probably hurt Carl. At this point, the player could choose whether to again become deviant and take actions against Carl's son, which could lead to someone's death. Or if you don't kill the son, Carl could die. And when you were playing the game, which one did you choose?
So this scene represents a big moral dilemma, because Carl doesn't want you to kill his son, obviously. But he's being really aggressive, and you, as the android, has developed this really strong relationship with Carl. So you don't want a disappointment, but you also, like, kind of want to save his life. I think that when I played, I think we ended up killing the son, but that led to consequences that we didn't really expect, because then the police came and, like, basically took us away.
Right. That brings up another question. Does playing in the role of android as non-human affect moral decisions or not? Because if you are playing as an android, you could choose to kill the son. But if you are playing as an actual human, you might feel sympathy for the son and keep him alive. The consequences of the moral decisions you made might not be satisfactory. In this case, rewinding mechanism in the game allows you to reconsider other choices, also gives you a chance to see your mistakes, and reveals how your consequences spawn the web of many different stories.
Right, so when we look back at the example at the beginning, Kara, who was the girl who potentially killed the father, has to escape, and now she's looking for a new place to live, and you have so many options. You can break into a hotel, you can rob a store, you can live in a broken down car, you can break into an abandoned house. I think I ended up breaking into an abandoned house, and we met this other character, which was very interesting. And you save Alice's life, but you have, like, again, these moral decisions where you have to break laws. And then once you finish a chapter, you can go back and look at all the options you would have had, which is, like, very interesting encounter.
I think I broke into the motel and ended up chasing by the policemen. And you could also use this rewinding mechanism as the dwelling on the past. When you have the opportunity to change your past, would you change your decisions when you make at the first time?
Yeah, it brings up an important question, like, do you ignore it? Would you play it again? Would you look at it and, like, move on? And, like, especially if a character dies, if you morally have the opportunity to go back to save that character, would you do it?
Right, I remember I did not gain enough trust from Hank and ended up killed by him on the bridge, so I rewind and saved Connor's life, which is one of the main characters in the game. And also, the game asks you to choose a decision in such a short time limit. That gives me less time to think about what would I really want to do.
It really pushes you to decide right away, which again could lead to rash decisions, and maybe you want to redo it because now you know the options and you have more time to think about it. And it completely changes the course of your whole story and gaming adventure. So one of the most important decisions you can make in this game as a player is you can either set the androids free or on a violent path of revolution.
One of the examples was that Marcus was leading his team to break into CyberLife, which is the company that produced all the androids. He could choose to rescue the vast majority unsold androids and awake them into deviants. Players can decide whether they want to start the war or negotiate it. However, if your troops are not strong or threatening to the government, no one will listen to you. And of course, the deviant robots will be destroyed and cleaned up immediately. In this case, player might choose to just start the war. I mean, I tried to do the negotiation path, but I ended up being killed, so I rewind and start the war instead, which actually led to a better ending for the androids.
So overall, this game brings up a lot of questions about what the future is going to look like. they are raising awareness about like immigrants and...
For now, jobs are taken by immigrants and people are complaining about it. But very soon, there will be a heated topic about robots taking jobs away. According to BBC News, they asked a professional consultee group and they said up to 800 million global workers will lose their jobs by 2030 and be replaced by robotic automation.
The thing about robots is that, or about like androids and technology, it tends to be more accurate, fast, they can work 24/7, they don't complain about wages, and companies don't need to deal with like human resources. So that seems like pretty ideal. And for now, while they're only used for repetitive jobs and assembly line, in the near future, they are probably going to be developed to create, self-program, and then they'll be very powerful. This game brings up that question about what we're going to do about it.
We'll leave you with a final question. Do you think androids, or robots in general, will become prevalent in society? And if so, would you feel sympathy for the androids, like how the game persuades you to? Or would you see them as problems?
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Ready, Set, Game. We hope to see you.